I'm Zena.
And I'm Renee.
Welcome to When You Just Want a Glass of Wine, a podcast dedicated to making wine drinking more approachable and inclusive. Join us as we decode the language and unlock the customs of wine drinking. Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay. We're ready.
We're all ready for this one? I'm really excited about it. I've been waiting to do this one for a little while.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Welcome to this episode of What's in Renee's Glass. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. All right. Let's have a little sip.
Okay.
Now, while you're all enjoying that sip, I'm going to introduce our special guest today. We are here with our friend Jerry Buchholz, who will join us for a later episode and talk about her happier camper named Lemon Twist.
Yes.
Today, she is joining us for a What's in Renee's Glass. What did you say before we started? You only have two more classes left?
Two more classes of I'm terrified, Then 1 week off and then the three-hour exam.
And we know you're gonna rock and roll.
All right, it's not Tim Fates.
All right, so let's
as they say in the West Wing, go outside, turn around three times, and spit.
All right, so let's get started on this wine. I'm very excited about it.
Okay,
got it specially just for you.
Yay!
It's got some challenges to it. It's a testable wine, but it is definitely something that you are going to have to use your famous deductive powers.
Really?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
All right, so get started. All right. What are we seeing? What color is it?
It's pale. I was gonna go pale lemon. It has some elements of like that brass to do a gold, but I think I'm going to stick with pale lemon.
Okay.
On that, it's got a little bit of color though. The color I think might come from, based on the nose, might come from oak or a little bit of aging. It's got distinctive nose. Now I have to take my glasses off. So, I mean, I'm getting fruit right off the bat. I was getting more like winemaking things. So like, a little, like a little cream or a little cheese, maybe?
Mmm. It's just, I'm going to go with, it is so pretty.
I was so excited.
Let's put it this way. I was so excited to buy it. I paid retail. That's how much I wanted you to drink this wine.
Listeners, you have no idea how significant that is. That's a big deal.
Once you figure out the wine, too, you realize just how significant. But absolutely gorgeous, right?
I mean, it is gorgeous on the nose.
First sip, it's just beautiful. Renee, Jerry, what are you thinking when you give it a little sniff to it?
I can definitely get a very slight scent of cheese, like you mentioned.
What kind of cheese are we getting? What kind of cheese?
Cheese is in Lees, on the Lees, maybe.
Ah.
But I think, okay, from the standpoint of like floral, I don't really get a lot of floral, although it almost has like a little bit of a honeyed Toshi, there's something going on in it that is not on the palate.
There's some very, very interesting interesting flavors going on. And we opened this, I think it's 15 minutes open, so I actually think the temp-wise, it's just about right.
Temperature's great.
Yep.
I mean, a little more, I'm getting like a roundness on it, or full. That's what I'm thinking on the lees, on the palate. So for the fruit, it's not a fruit. It's not, like I wouldn't say crisp green apple.
No.
I would say more like a golden apple or a stone fruit or apricot, something like that, with like lychee, maybe some tropical.
I would definitely keep you leaning towards that stone fruit. I think that's a very rational.
Peach. Like juicy peach, but.
Or like, I don't know, Asian pear or something like that.
I love, Jerry's just like me. You know I use Asian pear all the time. It's one of the ones, as a matter of fact, I
don't eat pear, so I'm like, I mean, it's pear. Pear for me is texture and not flavor. So.
It's got that sweetness of a fruit, but without very distinctive smell of fruit.
Yeah, stone fruit is definitely in there. Now, let's talk about some of the things that we can talk about right now, too. Where are you feeling that acid is?
It's at least medium plus.
That's absolutely perfect. I hit that one right on the nose.
Okay, so I'd say medium plus acid. And with WSET, you have to write out medium because they don't like little names.
And is this a dry wine?
This is a dry. This wine is dry. This wine is dry. This wine has medium plus acid. This wine has, I mean, it's got a little body to it.
Definitely.
There's something going on with
the I was going to ask you where you thought the body was.
I would say medium body.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to to do medium plus or anything like that.
I am going to throw a little thing in here, and I'm going to paraphrase it with, I spent probably half an hour trying to research this, and based on the site of the producer, which is I came to, and I mean, I used a lot, there is no oak on this.
Really?
Now, I really struggled because I, like you, believe that there is oak on this, but I Ooh. Am not.
Is this like on, a Puy Fumé then?
I can promise you there's no oak on this because I hate oak.
But it's got
the tongue turn inside out if there was oak on it.
Yeah, but sometimes the neutral French oak, you don't. Although I would have almost said new. I would have almost gone to a new. So I think it's so round. Keep pouring because this bottle.
I know.
I've got to
have some more of that. So then based on the location, you're going to get that. It's not a smoky flavor, but it's got like.
Oh, and I did not answer yes to your question, so don't. Yeah, you asked me. You asked me that. I did not answer yes to that. I want to be clear. So
you did not answer yes. You did not answer at all.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did not.
Rude. Okay, I mean, definitely high acid. It's got some tropical notes coming in at the end, and I'm feeling like looking at it more of an angle now that it is more of a golden tone. I'm going to switch to...
So your lemon gold is spot on.
Pale gold. Okay, yeah. So we have to pick one. I would say I'd be fine either way on that.
Yeah, and either of those two description of it would be absolutely perfect.
So with that acid, it would typically, I would say, cool climate, a cooler climate, or a warm climate with climatic influences.
Okay.
It feels more... It's very elegant.
It is very
It's a
elegant.
Very elegant wine, which leads me towards Old World or certain producers in the New World. Oh, this is... Okay.
And I'm going to give you a little hint.
Thank you.
Both things can be true, as I like to say.
Okay. Well, then that... When you get cryptic, it's where you throw me at, because I'm like, I don't know. Does this mean it's a New World producer that has Old World roots? Or an Old World producer that has locations in both?
Well, let's think about those two things, because you could pretty much walk through that. What gives you the Old World feeling but the New World thought? So which of those two things would be truest?
The elegance gives me Old World.
Okay.
There's definitely fruit on it, and it feels like tropical fruit, where if I'm looking at the white... Is this a single varietal?
It is a 100% single varietal.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
So
I wasn't going to mess you up that badly. It was already going to be complicated.
Tropical.
So we've learned in the tastings.
There's no petrol.
Right. We've learned in the tastings that we've done.
It's not a Riesling. It's not aromatic.
The elegance, which often leads us to Old World. But when there's fruit, that pulls us into.
The New World.
The New World. So which of the statements do you think is true then?
New World.
Okay. And who might have wineries be influenced by Old World styles? Like somebody,
Kim McPherson.
Yeah, or like, it's not Domaine Druin.
No, Domaine Druin.
But somebody like Domaine Druin, right? You know, people who
well,
even
I mean, there's a lot of wineries that are be influenced by it. There's also some amazing wineries in Chile and Argentina because the land is less expensive there and they're doing...
some interesting things there, yeah.
They're purchasing properties there to do experiments with the wines, with the grapes that are being grown there. It doesn't necessarily feel like South American to me, though.
You would be correct.
Okay.
I will help you because I did say this was a deductive one, so I will help you deduce. Jerry, so, where are you going with this? What's it telling you, having lived abroad and drank a lot of wines? And
well, I'm no wine expert like you guys. I agree it's very elegant, and I think this would... kind of unusually be very good for just simply drinking or serving with a meal.
Yeah.
And I think that's 100%. Not something that you see in a lot of wines. I think wines go one or the other. And my perspective, of course, is from the point of view of someone who entertains.
Right. Yes. Which we're going to talk a lot about later.
Yep. So if we're saying... New World, then I would have to say something very, very well established, because I don't think that you get to that level of elegance without that.
That's a great point. That is a great point, and I would agree with that. There's also a little bit of brininess on this.
Yes.
Like a little bit of salinity, which it's going to be like a Long Island.
I'll give you a hint. It's not. Okay. I'll let you take that out. There's also some, I think one of the things that you're going back and forth on, there's definitely some white flour to it that comes out. And there is a little bit of dried herb, but I think that's starting to come. Again, we've had this open for 15 minutes, but as we learned when we did the Sauvignon Blanc class, we had bottles open for 3 hours, and they beautifully held up and changed.
Yeah, and we tasted a Tarantis last night that on first open... First exposure to oxygen was like, wow, that's like got a pine sol chemical smell. And then we tasted it, it was completely different. And then you go back to the nose and it was beautiful. So it's like, so this is a cork enclosure. I see.
I found the tech notes, so I'm going to confirm that. Okay, so I can confirm that there is no oak at all in this. I find fascinating. That.
Well, then it's on the lees. It's got to be lees.
I'm going to leave that one too.
Because there's something that's giving it roundness. It's not butter like mallow.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely, no mallow.
It's not that. So this is a stainless, getting a round flavor. You get that color. There's got to be...
Citrus is coming out now.
Is this wine have some age?
Nothing. Some age. It's not a baby.
Skin contact?
No. And okay. It's not... It's more than 43 minutes, but I wouldn't call it an aged white. But speaking of, do you feel like this is a wine that could age because of the way it is?
Well, there's, you've got acid.
Yeah,
you've got body. You've got a medium body. I would say medium alcohol.
Yep.
It has some potential, but they're mostly, it doesn't taste like a Sauvignon Blanc. It doesn't taste like a wine that you would typically not age for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. Rieslings you can age. It doesn't taste like a prototypical Riesling.
Not a Riesling, yep.
Or Gewürztraminer, because I'm not getting the white. Like, I get a little white flower on the nose.
I think the citrus is starting to come out now. Yeah, I get, like, kind of like a little grapefruit to it, I think because of the acid that's hit me.
I get no grapefruit on that, but...
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of eating a grapefruit in the morning with that little knife.
I'm mostly getting like these tertiary things with like there's no.
What do you think of Jerry? You have a thought?
A little more lemony or citron. I mean, I don't get the grapefruit because that's a flavor that really sticks with me. But I definitely started to taste the citrus.
I get the yellow grapefruit.
I've had this grape before. I've had this varietal before.
Yes. It is not an unknown varietal to you.
Okay, I would typically say with this flavor profile, my immediate instinct was a Chardonnay, but like an oaked Chardonnay.
And we know it's not oaked, so.
And we know it's not oaked, because it's a Chardonnay?
No.
Okay. All right, so let's put it's together. Not Riesling, it's not Gewürztraminer, it's not Sauvignon Blanc, it's not a Chardonnay.
So let's take a step back and put together some of the things that we do know, right?
Okay.
I liked how Jerry said this is somebody that could be an established producer. We know this is somebody who makes a beautiful wine, because let's face it, this is a gorgeous wine, who's influenced in some way by the old world. That's a lot right there, right?
Well, but I mean, there's a lot. Yes, but it's also there's a lot of people that are influenced by the new world.
Yep. It is.
Let's narrow hemisphere.
Okay. It's not Chile.
It's not Chile. It's not South America. Yep. So the other options are in the Wset lingo. There's South Africa, which it's got a little Chenin-esque, but maybe I hear you.
It is not. I'm going to give you one more little lead in. It's not Chenin.
Was this a Semillon?
No,
a varietal Semillon.
But it's not Chenin, and it's not South Africa.
Australia and New Zealand would be the only other ones, other than North America.
But we want to go with where we're going, with a cooler climate. That's going to pop out most of New Zealand, most of...
Well, but they're climactic influences, though.
Mm-hmm. It's going to pop out most of New Zealand.
Okay. So there's Australia.
Also, so...
We're in either...
Oh, wow, it's so pretty every time. I mean, this is evolving as we...
Upstate New York, Virginia, Michigan... This is another Left Foot Charlie.
This is not a Left Foot Charlie.
Okay.
Have you ever had the Left Foot
Charlie? I love Left Foot Charlie. Shout out to Left Foot Charlie, but they've stumped me twice.
I don't even know what that is.
Left Foot Charlie is from Michigan. They do a
beautiful
Riesling
and a beautiful Pinot Gris.
Yeah, they're lovely. That is not Left Foot Charlie. Yeah.
I mean, like a French style Pinot Gris, but from where?
So you definitely, so you, you, so the
statement, I would say North America then.
You are North America, and you also correct in the statement, it is a French style, which is not where, we did not discuss what part of Europe you felt it was influenced by.
Oh, so, French style. Right. Yeah,
so
sorry.
It's definitely
sorry,
influenced style. By French. I feel like I have given you all of the things that you need for deductive. You are just way in your head. So everybody,
I'm way in my head, but
let's do a swirl of this one more time. It's beautiful.
But
it's
there are a
elegant.
Lot of people influenced by France, so it's not Barbersville because he's not influenced by France.
No, you get to take that out. Yeah, it's not Domaine Druin because I've already told you that.
It's not Domaine Druin.
Where in France? Let's do it. Where do you think is the influence from?
I mean, I would say I could see some Loire with some of it, with the stainless, with the edge. It's not Melon, so it's not Mâconnais. It's, what? I mean, like a white Bordeaux.
What is one of the kind of most famous, wonderful French whites that Julia Child loved?
Oh, a Pouilly Montrachet?
Yeah, or Meursault.
Meursault.
Yeah. So who do we know that gets very heavily influenced by beautiful Burgundian style wines?
Okay, that's I'm not going to get. Mm-hmm. Was it a winemaker we've worked with before?
It's a winemaker we know and love and respect.
You should see her face.
I'm like,
who is this? It's not a buddy buddy. It's not Kim McPherson. Hey, Kim, if you're listening,
Kim McPherson.
We love you, but this is not your wine.
West Coast.
No. Look at her face now. Oh. Look at her face now. All right.
This is going to be a Bedell. No, because you said it's not Long Island.
It is not Long Island.
West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Not West Coast. No, oh. It is not West Coast.
Oh, it's not West Coast.
Mm-hmm. It's not West Coast.
Well, okay. So there's...
I will give you one large hint.
Maynard Keenan.
Yeah. They'll give you one large hint. This winemaker makes absolutely gorgeous wines in the Côte d'Or and the Côte de Beaune.
Michael Schaps. This is Michael Schaps.
It's Michael Schaps, man. It's Michael Schaps.
And that is Charlottesville, Virginia.
Yes, very close to. Now, which of his blends, if I suggested to you when you were thinking South Africa, what 100% grape would be in something that makes you think of South Africa? Come on, you're really close.
White wine?
Yes.
Well, they're going to be, it's going to be a Chenin or it's going to be a Sauvignon Blanc or a Chardonnay. Well, mostly Chardonnay. But like,
what's the one you got with Andrew that time? And you picked all the varietals.
Semillon, Roussan. Roussan! Son of a...
Did you see her face on that time?
I saw her face.
I was just listening to a podcast on like the Roussan. She's like, Roussan is a very... I'm like, okay, the Roussan.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what I pulled. I pulled...
Oh my gosh, home from Honalee.
Yeah, this is it's. Oh yeah, yeah. So it's interesting
in
that
orange.
You said that. So it is, it's from the Honalee Vineyard. And the reason it's so spectacular from there, it's 1,000-foot elevation, southeast exposure. And you get this Roussan that shows this, you know, beautifully ripe fruit with beautiful freshness. And as Jerry mentioned, this
typically
vineyard...
Typically a blending grape, though.
Yep. And that's why when I tasted it, I was like, I'm getting this. So this vineyard sits on the foothills of the Blue Ridge. It's got 40 acres under vine. Michael Schaps, he is a small batch, old world, new world style. We love him. The Maison Schaps, which is in Meursault, is a boutique, what they call garagiste. And it produces very limited site-specific Burgundy.
I know what that means.
Yes. It is, you know, and when I read all about it, I was like, oh my God, I have always loved
these wines. No, this is a gorgeous wine.
Yeah.
So that's
he's in the Côte d'Or.
So we say this is pure varietal expression.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because there's no, is there lees aging?
No, not that I could find. Not that I could find.
So that's just Roussan. That's just what Roussan tastes like.
Yep.
It tastes like an oaked.
Mm-hmm.
Age, like neutral oak, lees age.
It's just beautiful, yeah. And
it's gorgeous.
Just for everybody listening, a garagiste is a 1990s Bordeaux nickname for tiny, often garage-sized producers making micro, or as the French would say, micro cuvées, outside the big chateau model. So hands-on winemaking, quality, precision.
Yeah.
And the reason that I wanted to do this is we're still in Virginia Wine Month. Might publish afterwards, but we have been trying to get Michael Schaps to do an old world, new world with us, and he was in Harvest when I was emailing back and forth with him. So we went out with our friends, Chris, Jimmy and I went out with Chris and Edwin for their anniversary weekend. And I tasted this and I looked at Jimmy and he goes like, he's like, you know what you want to do with that? I'm like, this is the blind taste for Renee.
This is a gorgeous wine. And as you know, my favorite winemaker, Alicia Moore of Two Wolves Wines, AKA Pink, has said that she basically refrigerated her garage and became a garagiste.
There you go.
And began making wines like 16 or so years ago and everything like this. But this is...
Look at the color now.
Beautiful. It's
even
definitely
the color's
gold.
Evolved.
When you get more when you get more in the glass, like it also depends on the pour. It's definitely gold. Like that's a pale gold. That is a gorgeous wine.
And this is a 2022. So for a white wine, a little tiny bit of age,
so
right?
They're doing, not 40 minutes. Like, hand harvest, hand sorting. Yeah.
You're right about the alcohol, too. It's only about 12% alcohol, so you're right about that. Stone fruit, citrus, some dried herbs. Aged 12 months in stainless. You know, this to me is a roast chicken wine. Like if you said, would you get this roast chicken? Or what's that thing you do with the is it the vol-au-vent, the thing with mushrooms and the like that old 1970s thing where they take the pastry thing and they put chicken and sauce and creamy and mushroom. I do that
like
with
pot pie.
I call that pot pie.
I call it a pot pie. Get one chicken pot pie from McNamara's. This would go great with
creamy.
Or puff pastry.
Puff pastry. to cut through a little bit. Jerry, what do you think of this wine?
I actually really like it. I'm quite familiar with the Honalee Vineyard. I used to drive past it every time I took my dog to the vet.
There you go.
It was literally right by my house down near Charlottesville, Virginia. And
have you drank Michael Schaps before?
I have drank Michael Schaps before, and they have a tasting room.
Yes,
Charlottesville.
They switched it. They used to be, you know, more about it. It used to be the older spice, and now it's in the newer
stage. Yeah, so they're in a beautiful chateau now. Well, the first time I went there with my friends, we stopped in, and it was like a metal building and a tasting room. And they were still doing they were doing the American and the French tasting. You could do side by side, and we sat out next to the tanks, and I thought it was magical. And when we met him at the Virginia Portfolio,
she said, "Do we know him?" And I went to be like, "We met him, we met him." It took me everything not to
I know.
Michael Schaps, like
20 we know. And
times.
I was like, "Oh my gosh!" And he's lovely, and he was lovely at that tasting. And
so
I said, "We're in the metal building," and he was like, "Oh my gosh!" He goes, "But have you been to the chateau?" I'm like, "Yes, we have, and it's gorgeous there." He's lovely. The people that work there are lovely. Really, really magical winemakers. I'm like, this is a star of Virginia wine. And I love all of their wines, and that's just single variety Roussan.
This
nice.
Was part of they participated in Virginia Wine Month. Call out that Beauty Champagne and Sugar just was nominated and received
Virginia Wine Steward.
Virginia
Boom.
Wine Steward, yep. And we went down there early in the month, and this was part of the package that they had. They had a Roussan and two other bottles. I can't even remember. I think one might have been the Merlot. Absolutely delicious. We had a wonderful, wonderful tasting. I didn't spit at all, and it was the beginning of my Sunday, and I paid for it drastically. But it was fun. Or maybe we went on Saturday. I don't even remember.
No, it's a beautiful.
Anyhow, Saturday we did barbershop. But anyhow, thank you both for
working
this.
Thank you.
I hope you really enjoy this. I was so excited to bring it to the table.
Excellent. Michael Schaps, Roussan, Virginia Wine Month. Wrap it up strong.
Cheers, cheers.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
That's so good.
Yeah, I know. It's so delicious.
I'm like, it's a blend.